We see little of God's love in the ministry of believers. Little. We do see a lot of immaturity, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of trouble, a lot of difficulty, a lot of strained relationships, but we don't see much of God's love. This is a very serious matter.
This is Hope for Today. You know, childish things do not belong in a mature walk with God. There comes a point when the Lord calls us to put away what is shallow, what is partial, and what keeps us fixated on the temporary. 1 Corinthians 13 takes us there. It pulls us out of spiritual childishness and sets our eyes on what will still stand when everything else is stripped away. Today, Bible teacher David Hawking begins a message called Love is the Greatest. In the final three verses of 1 Corinthians 13, we'll see the difference between what is now and what is coming, between what is fragmented and what is complete, and why love stands above it all. Don't go anywhere. The Word of God is straight ahead. First, as this month draws to a close, we want to say thank you to those of you who have already given to support this ministry this month, and to those of you who have been praying for us as well. We don't take that lightly. Your faithfulness before the Lord means more than you know. Your prayers and your giving help keep Hope for Today on the air and online, helping us cover the cost of broadcast time and production expenses, and helping us keep taking the straight teaching of God's Word to people who need the truth. If the Lord would lead you to stand with us here at the end of the month, we do need additional help, and we'd be deeply grateful to have you on board in ministry with us. Call 1-800-75-BIBLE in the U.S. or 1-888-75-BIBLE in Canada. Bible is 24253. You can also contribute online at David Hawking, that's David, H-O-C-K-I-N-G, .org. And I'll have our mailing addresses for you at the end of the program. Right now, let's open up the Word of God with David Hawking for day one of Love is the Greatest.
Let's open up our Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're in the last three verses of this chapter. The greatest words ever written on love, 1 Corinthians 13. And we divided it in its natural way because there are three paragraphs in the Greek language. I think they're also discernible in English. Verses 1 to 3 is the first one. We mentioned that God's love is essential, absolutely essential. Why? Because without it, your communication is ineffective. Verse 1, you're just a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. 2, because without it, your understanding is incomplete. Though you have all knowledge and understand all mysteries, without love, you're nothing. And also in verse 3, without it, your giving, no matter how much of a philanthropist you are and how generous you are, your giving is insufficient without the love of God. It says it profits you nothing. So in the first paragraph, God's love is essential. Then in verses 4 to 7, in the second paragraph, God's love is explained. And we learned about that. It's pretty powerful. Verse 4, the character of God's love is two things. The love is patient and the love is kind. Two positives. Then secondly, we look at the contrast with God's love. Eight negatives as to what it is not. Then third, in verse 7, he changes the things or circumstances. The circumstances which God's love controls. It bears all things, puts a roof over it, covers it. It believes all things, and it hopes all things, and it will endure all things. Now we're in the section verses 8 to 13. God's love is not only essential and is explained, but God's love is exalted above everything else you could think of that would be important in your life. God's love is the most important of all. And we see that for several reasons, and we're going to deal with several of them. We just took two of them in our last time together. We are now ready for the third reason, but I want to read verse 11, 12, and 13. In your Bible, please look on. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is love. Well, the third reason why God's love is exalted, not only because it endures and it exists when the gifts are no more, but number three, because it excludes immaturity. Here's one thing that can straighten out a big-time problem among us. When you have God's love controlling, it completely eliminates or excludes immaturity. Very interesting, which makes me wonder whether we really understand the love of God or not. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, this is not an incidental remark. It's a very powerful one. When I was a child, I spake as a child. You're going to love this. The word child here, including the word childish, is the Greek word nepios. N-E-P-I-O-S, if you want to look it up in your concordance. Nepios is a root meaning no word. It comes to mean without intelligent speech. It is the word you use to describe your toddlers. Hello? They don't put their sentences together very well, and they're kind of hard to get them to do what you want them to do. As a matter of fact, if they've learned something that you think is really wonderful and you can't wait to show your friends, invariably that little toddler will not do it the day you ask them to do it, though you practiced at home. How do I know? I am an experienced grandfather. Trust me. These toddlers are uncontrollable. Now, folks, that's the word that he uses when he said, when I'm a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. What's he talking about? He's talking about the ministry in the church of Jesus Christ. A lot of us are doing a lot of good things, but frankly, we're like toddlers. We're out of control. We don't communicate properly, and the problem is we don't have the love of God. I feel like saying to all of us, we need to grow up. A lot of us are wearing our hearts on our sleeve. You know, toddlers will cry at the slightest provocation, even when you raise your voice or do not do what they want you to do immediately. It's amazing. They can throw tantrums. It's interesting when you go out to eat and you see a young couple come in and you say, oh, aren't those kids cute? They're so cute. But before your meal is over, you're going to wish they were punished. The toddlers are amazing. I sat in a booth in a restaurant not too long ago watching a young couple with two little toddlers. And this little kid in a high chair took his food and he threw it on the floor. His dad said to him, now, Johnny, you don't do that. He picked it up and threw it on the floor in front of him. He said, please, don't do that. He did it again, threw it on the floor. He said, Daddy doesn't like that. He picked it up again and threw it on the floor. The little kid is not responding. And he said with his voice, Johnny, and you know what the little kid did? He started crying, making a scene. Okay, settle down. It'll be all right. He's looking around, smiling. It's okay. God bless you. I'm not a child abuser. God bless you. You know, and it's unbelievable. You see it over and over again. But nobody in the body of Christ wants to believe that that's what you're like without love. I looked up all of these because there were only 14 times the word was used, and I found the following characteristics, at least six of them. Just think about it a moment as to people you know who are ministering. By the way, a toddler is capable of praising the Lord. That was the first thing I found out. So don't think that even though you might be a toddler spiritually, that you can't praise the Lord. Sure you can. And Jesus even spoke about that in Matthew 21, verse 16, about how the little children will praise him if you don't. And he used the word nepios, a little toddler, who can't put his words together correctly and makes a lot of noise. Secondly, I learned in Romans chapter 2, verse 20, that the toddler is in need of teaching. There's one thing you see in the body of Christ, that a lot of people who are causing trouble and getting upset and wear their hearts on their sleeve and are not really manifesting the love of God, they need to be taught. God's word brings a maturity and an understanding about the love of God, and you and I don't have it normally. So if you're trying to cruise through your Christian experience just trusting by some sort of spiritual hypodermic needle that you're going to act right all the time, you've got another thing coming. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to control you. Otherwise, you're out of control. I know that by experience. We are in need of teaching to go back to the Word of God and see what God says. I know believers who've known the Lord for years and will totally forget what God said is a standard of His love. Ignore it, not pay attention to it, and believe they are right. I've seen it over and over again. And what you're manifesting is the attitude of a toddler. A third thing I found is in 1 Corinthians, the book we're studying. Remember back in chapter 3, verses 1 to 3? He said, I have to call you carnal. You are babes in Christ. Again, it's the word nepios. He's not talking about new Christians. He's talking about toddlers who are out of control. And that's what the church of Corinth was all about. They were controlled by the flesh. According to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3, they're full of jealousy and envy and strife, and they cause divisions. These are toddlers spiritually, and that's why we need the love of God, to get rid of it, because God's love eliminates or excludes immaturity. It gets rid of it immediately, because it's far better in every way. Another thing I found in Galatians 4 was that a toddler has a tendency toward legalism. You see, sometimes people, because they don't show love, become legalistic. You set up walls and barriers, and thou shalt do this and not do that. And they aren't in the Bible. You just made them up. Because it's like a self-protectionism. You're protecting yourself. You don't want to be hurt again. Or you don't want to be like someone else. And so all of a sudden, you have a legalism around you. Once again, it's a toddler spiritually. Another thing I found in Ephesians 4, verse 14, that a toddler is easily deceived because they aren't committed to what the Bible says. They can easily be manipulated and be deceived. Oh, may God help us to understand this. It's so important. And then finally, I saw the passage in Hebrews 5, 13 and 14, which says they're unskillful in the word of righteousness, for they are a babe, a toddler. They're not able to discern the difference between right and wrong. They make up the rules as they go along. Folks, listen, our churches are filled with people like this. They've come to know the Lord, but they haven't grown. Why? Because love was never a priority. Something else was. Maybe in your case, it's knowledge. But 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffs up. Love is what edifies. We're not talking about the infatuation and emotional warm fuzzies that a lot of people speak about when they talk about love. We're talking about God's love that was described in this chapter. And it comes from the Holy Spirit, and it's not our natural tendency. It's very important to understand. We need God's love. So the third reason why that love is exalted is because it excludes or eliminates immaturity. And boy, do we need that. Now, coming to verse 12, we have a fourth reason why God's love is exalted. And that's because it enables us while we wait for a greater knowledge. Now, there are many, many views about this passage. We discussed them in our last time together. We discussed about how when the perfect thing comes, what it might mean. And there are all kinds of views. And they are affected here. Let me show you why. Look at verse 12 again. For now, we see through a glass darkly or dimly, but then face to face. Now, to find out about the then and the now, we go back to verse 10. When that which is perfect is come, then the word of time, then that which is in part shall be done away. So when you come to verse 12, now we're looking in this glass, which is the word for mirror, dimly or darkly or obscurely. Interestingly, what is being said here, and we shall explain in a moment, then, however, when this perfect thing comes, it'll be face to face. Now I know in part, but then I'll know even as also I am known. What he's talking about is that love is the most important thing in life. And that's hard to understand. If you've been working on another basis, to hear that is like, oh, well, I know what you're talking about. Really? We see little of God's love in the ministry of believers. Little. We do see a lot of immaturity, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of trouble, a lot of difficulty, a lot of strained relationships, but we don't see much of God's love. This is a very serious matter. You see, according to the passage, whatever this thing is that's coming, while I'm waiting, the thing that enables me is love. Even though I don't have this complete knowledge, even though I haven't seen face to face, I have a need of God's love, no matter whether it's now or then. It's a very difficult passage. Let me divide verse 12 up into two ways, because it is a verse of contrast. We have, first of all, our present burden. That's what I like to call it, because that's exactly what it is. Our present burden is described in two ways. One, by limited vision. We see through a glass darkly, a mirror darkly. Now, the Greek word is only used here, but we have this word said into English, never translated, just said into English. Our English word is enigma. What is an enigma? Sometimes it's a paradox, it's a difficult saying we can't figure out, but it's basically that which is obscure. It has a point to it. It doesn't mean it's nonsensical. It's sort of like the word mysterion, from which we get our word mystery. It doesn't mean it's mysterious. It means that there's a meaning there that you haven't quite understood. When he said enigma, it's a Greek word, enigmati, obscurity. I'm looking in a mirror now, and I'm not seeing things clearly. I've got a limited vision, and that's why I need to understand God's love. The second part of this present burden that I have is insufficient knowledge. He said, now I know in part. Look back at verse 9. Do you remember that? He said, we know in part. It's only partial. We don't have the completed product, the perfect thing that's coming. I have insufficient knowledge, I have limited vision, and that's my present burden. Now let's take the other side of that contrast, and that's our future blessing. What is the future blessing here? And there are two things that are said. First, one day there will be a clear picture. I'll understand. That picture is described as then face to face. And secondly, there'll be a greater perspective, because then I will know. And by the way, in the Greek text, he changes the word for know. When he said, I know in part, gnosko, I have a certain knowledge now. But when he said, then I shall know, it's epignosko, meaning a full knowledge. I will really put it all together. I will have a perspective that is greater than what I have now. I will now understand things that I never understood before. I will know then as I am known. And again, it's the same word, epignosko. Let me back up again, and let's go back to our present burden, limited vision. We see through a mirror darkly. But then, face to face. What is he talking about?
Now that's David Hawking, and this is Hope for Today. David will be back in a moment to close out our time in the Word, so don't go away. Some additional thoughts from David are coming up in just a moment. First, Matt and I have a couple of things that may just change the way you think about love.
Okay, Jim, this month we are featuring two special resources. The first one is my dad's book called Love is the Greatest.
Man, I love this book here because 1 Corinthians 13, my wife and I had that read in kind of like a reader's theater fashion by the wedding party at our wedding, because we really wanted to focus on God's definition of love and the standard for love that he wants us to understand and apply in our lives towards our spouses, our friends, our relatives, the neighbor next door who's kind of cranky and noisy.
Right.
It all applies.
In a world increasingly marked by division, noise, and self-interest, Scripture reminds us that God's highest priority has never changed. Without love, even the most impressive spiritual activity, it's empty in God's sight.
Think about all the activities we can be involved with as believers.
Right.
All these good charitable works. If love is not the foundation and infused through it,
it's empty.
It's empty.
Yeah.
And then in that same passage, 1 Corinthians 13, and your dad develops this so marvelously. It tells us what love isn't.
Right.
In the first few verses. Then it tells us what love is.
Amen.
It bears all things.
Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Now, I wish I could say after being married for 39 years, I've got that down pat, but you know better.
Right.
I've got a lot to work on with this.
Now we have grace, too.
And grace. There is that, too. But I think about this, Matt. Your dad, with his God-given talent for teaching and his Bible study 4 hours a day for so many years, he dives into this passage and then shows us how to put it into action.
Right, because faith without works is dead, right?
That's it. That's Amen. It. Okay, so you can get this book, Love is the Greatest, and the price, Matt?
Just $15.
$15. Mm-hmm. The second resource we're featuring this month is a bundle, and it is a bundle.
Right. Sermon Notes of the Old Testament.
All 35 message series that your dad has taught through the Old Testament.
Yeah.
These are his original sermon notes.
His personal notes that when he preached, this is what he referenced.
So the Sermon Notes bundle, again, these are David's original sermon notes and outlines for all 35 series that he has taught through the Old Testament. And the cost?
$75.
And folks, you can download these and get them right away.
Yes.
Or you can call us, same price. We'll send you a PDF CD.
$75.
Well, to order these resources, call us at 800-75-BIBLE. That's in the U.S. 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. And Bible is 24253. You can also visit davidhawking.org. As we mentioned at the open of today's broadcast, this month is quickly coming to a close, isn't it? We want to thank those of you who have already given and those of you who have been faithfully praying for this ministry. That makes you a part of Hope for Today. Your support, it is a tremendous encouragement and a real help. And if the Lord leads you to stand with us here at the end of the month, we do continue to need help and prayers, of course. Your prayers and your gift will help keep Hope for Today on the air, clearly teaching the Word of God without compromise. If you'd like to send a gift or tell us you're praying by mail, you can write to Hope for Today, Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. In Canada, write to Hope for Today, Box 15011, RPO, Seven Oaks, Abbotsford, B.C., V2S, 8P1. And here's David to close out today's lesson.
Well, I hope you've been listening to the broadcast during this series on love to prepare all of our hearts for the onslaught the world gives us about what love is. Well, we need to find out what God says love is, and that's why we're doing this in-depth study of 1 Corinthians 13. It's not without controversy. There's a lot of people who disagree over what is meant, especially when he tells us in verse 10, that which is perfect is come. People say, well, what in the world is that? And we try to share with you those views, and it's hard to be dogmatic sometimes because good Bible teachers do disagree, and we want to be fair and open and honest, intellectually honest about what we know. Our disagreements among good Bible teachers. Now, those who are liberal and don't care about the Bible, we usually ignore their views. Now, friends, God's love can heal a bad relationship. I've seen that happen many, many times. And maybe you're listening right now and you know things aren't right between you and someone, and maybe your spouse or your children or your parents or a friend at work. Listen, God's wonderful love produced by the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer can heal, restore, It can take the broken pieces and put it back together and make something beautiful out of it. So understand, our need of God's love is huge. It's not a small matter. If you're trying to run your Christian life without experiencing the love of God, you're making a big mistake. And it will explain to you why maybe your ministry isn't well received or why people are a little hesitant to respond to you. We need love. So plan to be with us as we're wrapping up soon this whole series on 1 Corinthians 13. God bless you.
Well, thank you, David. And friend, if you missed any part of today's program or maybe a recent broadcast, you can listen again to our most recent broadcast for a limited time by going to davidhocking.org. Click on the radio tab at the top of the page, and please share that link with a friend and also tell them about hearing Hope for Today on this station. Well, tomorrow, David Hocking comes back with day two of his message, Love is the Greatest, finishing up our study of 1 Corinthians 13. And while the world talks big about love, but God doesn't leave it vague, soft, or open to rewrite. In 1 Corinthians 13, he nails it down. What lasts, what matters, and what stands above everything else, everything mankind loves to exalt, is godly love. Invite a friend to listen along with you, and we'll see you then, right here on Hope for Today.